Just. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and a happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, May 11th, the year of our Lord, 2024. First String Sports, definitely the place to be. There are already tons of people here. It's going to be a hot day. Might as well get to that now as well. Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. Right now it's 75 degrees, so I bet you can feel it when you walk outside. If you're driving around town, running some errands, it's going to be a high of 90 degrees, guys. All right, so it's hit. So we're going to be hitting the 90 degrees next week as well. I think it's going to cool down in a week and a half. But anyway, it's going to be heating up. Spring is going to be ending soon. We're going to be hitting summer before you know it. But First String Sports, definitely the place to be. Love doing my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. They have a sale going on, guys. Baseball sale, 28% off. Why is it 28% off? Well, because it's the 28th anniversary of First String Sports. 28% off baseball gloves, bats, helmets, bags, catchers, gear, all the stuff that you need for the baseball season. All of you travel baseball dudes, come on over. Now is the time to get stuff here at First String Sports. 28% off all baseball hard goods. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN as well. This is going to be a loaded show. Got tons of guests today for the next 2 hours. If you're listening to the show for the first time, 2 hours, mainly high school sports. We throw in Fresno State every once in a while, but it's, I don't know, 93% high school sports for 2 hours. We recap the games from early in the week or the matches. We do a little preview. We talk rankings, bring in coaches to talk to, bring in players as well. Let me get to what's coming on for today's show. After the break, we'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo. You guys know Gabe. He's at Fox 26 right now, a sportscaster. He was on 1430 ESPN for, I think, 3 years. Yeah, he produced my show, does a great job, had his own show in the afternoon. Gabe and I are going to be talking about the playoff predictions. This is playoff Saturday. The seedings come out, right? It's one of the best days of the year. We'll do it three times, football, basketball, and baseball and softball. So they're going to be coming out from the CIF Central Section in the early afternoon. Gabe and I are going to be predicting it. It would be perfect if the brackets were out. That way we could be breaking it down on air live as they're happening. But they usually come out, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock. I know during football season, coaches will be hitting that refresh button to see where their teams landed and analyze it. But Gabe and I are going to be predicting who's going to be number one in baseball. Clovis West, Liberty is a case for each. That's going to be interesting. Clovis West could jump up to number one. After Gabe, we got Central Baseball in the house. Coach Micah Harrington is here. Don Flores is here. Marcus Nolan's here. Joining us live. Actually, I think they're here right now. Got an early jump. The Grizzlies had a pretty good couple of weeks. They won 4 out of the last 6 games. Projected to be about, I don't know, an 8, 9, maybe a 10 seed. But they got a strong program, and they've proven all year that they can play with anybody. At the top of hour number 2, Alan Sandoval. Friend of the show. He's the head baseball coach at Madera South. He's going to be joining us. Won that D3 Central Section Championship title in 2022 with a player you may have heard of. Dominated. Murph Gray is doing great things at Fresno State. Coach Sandoval mentioned, I think it was 3 weeks ago, he made it public that he's stepping down after this season. Spends some more time with his family. Pursue some other opportunities. So he's a great guy. Excited to talk to him. Bummed that he's not going to be coaching anymore. But, you know, it's a real thing, right? A lot of coaches realize, man, I am being away from my family a lot. This time in life only happens once. I'm going to make sure I make the most of the opportunities to be with my family. So Coach Sandoval is stepping down. Looking forward to talking to him at the top of hour number 2. After Coach Sandoval, Steve Ramirez, the baseball coach at Emmanuel, will be coming on. Last year he made it to the D4 title game. Just wrapped up a league title against Reedley on Thursday. Talked to him for about 10 minutes or so. If you guys didn't see the highlights on Twitter or on news, but high-level boys volleyball was played last Thursday. Clovis High defeated number 1 Sanger at Sanger. The crowd was absolutely electric. Coach Rich Lake the boys' volleyball coach. He's actually the girls' volleyball coach as well. He's coming here live to First String Sports to talk about volleyball. And how cool that sport is, man. That place was absolutely packed at Sanger. Looking forward to talking to Coach Rich Lake. I want to run down, got about 4 or 5 minutes here, run down some of the league champions in baseball here around the Valley. I do want to mention, congratulations to Central. Central's being represented today. The girls' softball team, defending D1 champs, they won the track this year, so congrats to Central softball. But in baseball, you guys know the Clovis West took it this year. They won the track. Bullard won the CMAC. They went 15-0. They were untouched this season. Liberty Madera, they are the Northwest Sequoia North Division champs and went 12-1. Fowler, talk about a dominating performance in league. They ran away with the Northwest Sequoia West Division, 13-0 record. And check this out. They outscored opponents 159-26. Fowler's got a really good ball club. We're going to find out later where they're going to be seated in division. I think they'll be Division III baseball. The Tri-County River League champions is Kingsburg, 9-3. Emmanuel won the Tri-County Sequoia division at 8-4. Like I mentioned, congrats to Fresno High, Jason Pappy. They're the North Yosemite League champs. They went 12-1 this year. And Lemoore, they got a really good ball club. They went 12-3 and won the West Yosemite League. The championships for baseball is going to be played again in Visalia at Valley Strong Ballpark the weekend of May 23 through 24. And softball is going to be played at Marjorie Wright Diamond this year. So no changes to that. So if your team makes it to the Central Section Championships, I still say Valley Championships every once in a while. Central Section Championships is going to be played in Visalia. The Swim and Dive Championships for State. The CIF State Swim and Dive Championships are happening right now at the Clovis West Olympic Swim Complex. I know there are a lot of teams that are going to be in the running, a lot of individuals as well. I know Clovis West has some sisters that are amazing. Kingsburg got a swimmer that has a really good chance of getting a gold medal, a male swimmer. So that's happening right now, guys. And then, of course, the Buchanan hosting the Veterans at Veterans Memorial Stadium, the CIF State Track and Field event. Unfortunately, it's one of my favorite events to go to, but unfortunately, it's the same weekend as the baseball championships in Visalia, May 24th and 25th at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I love going to that event. I haven't checked the weather in advance, but there's been some years where they've had to push things back because it's been in the mid-100s. However, that if you haven't been, I highly recommend going to that. It's an incredible day, incredible event, incredible couple days. There are people that come from SoCal, NorCal, and say, man, this is a high school stadium? Yeah, it is, right there at Buchanan. Before we hit the break, two Clovis West alums I have to mention. Tyler Ferguson, baseball player from Clovis West, went to Vandy. He got called up by the Oakland A's last week. He threw a scoreless inning yesterday, struck out a couple, gave up a hit. And on May 7th, he actually pitched two innings and struck out three, walked two, gave up another hit, but zero runs. That guy has grinded it out. I believe this is his 10th year in pro baseball, and he finally got called up to the majors. Congrats to Tyler Ferguson of Clovis West. And Adrian Martinez, the quarterback extraordinaire, who went to Nebraska, record-setting quarterback at Nebraska for 4 years, played one final year at Kansas State, and had that great game against Oklahoma on national television. Well, he's playing in the UFL for the Birmingham Stallions. They're 6-0, and Adrian Martinez is the front-runner to win the MVP. A couple weeks ago, he rushed for 138 yards and win over the Houston Roughnecks. That's week 5. And last week, he threw for a record 369 yards and 4 touchdowns in a 39-21 win over the Memphis Showboats. He's going to be on national TV again, 1 o'clock our time, on Fox. So check that out. Adrian Martinez tearing it up. He still has aspirations to make it to the NFL. Think, Kurt Warner, right? We know Kurt Warner's story, playing in the Arena League, getting picked up by the Rams. Went on to go to the Hall of Fame and win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying Adrian Martinez is on that trajectory, but you never know. He could be picked up by the NFL. You never know. So congrats to those two guys for making making a name for themselves in their prospective sports and representing our Valley, representing Clovis West. All right, we come back after the break. We'll be breaking down the potential D1 playoffs and more, Division II, Division III, Division IV, and maybe even into Division V. I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo up next after the break on 1430 ESPN. Got Gabe Camarillo on the line right now. Gabe is at Clovis West. Like I mentioned in my opener, lots of great stuff. We got state level events happening here in the Fresno Clovis area, and one is the CIF State Swim and Dive Championships at the Clovis West Olympic Complex. So Gabe is there. We're going to be chopping it up about the baseball playoffs and where things might land. It's always fun to make predictions because the brackets don't come out for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours or so. So Gabe, how's it going, my friend? What are you looking at right now? You got Clovis West, correct?
Yeah, I'm at Clovis West. That's so bad. You're making me talk through the national anthem here, Paul.
Hey, nothing like live radio. So we've had that happen before. Exactly. So, all right, so I'll vamp for a little bit. So, we've run into that a few times, broadcasting basketball and baseball games. All of a sudden, the national anthem starts, and we got to give our props to our wonderful country. But today is bracket Saturday. Softball and baseball brackets are going to be released on the CIF Central Section website. It's always fun to predict throughout the year as well, but it's finally going to come down to this. We're looking at a full 16-team bracket for Division I, right, Gabe?
Yeah, for D1 baseball, that's the situation. I don't know if a lot of people like that. Obviously, you have maybe your top 11 or 12 schools you look at and say, okay, yeah, they played a D1 caliber schedule. They fared well against D1 teams. They belong in Division I playoffs. Now, you have those like 13 through 16 seeds that you can make the argument if they were in Division II, as the top 4 seeds there, they could be a title contender. But they already put this into, effect before the season started. It's not like you can predict the future and say there's 10 Division I level teams. And really, it's about your opinion, too. You could say, well, actually, I think 13 or 14 belong in D1, and you would be right. That's the thing about the system, Paul, is ever since they moved to competitive equity and moved away from, strict division guidelines, it's kind of left up to interpretation because, in football, you ran into this. There's some D2 level schools that do belong in D1. Now, in baseball, is there one of those? I think it remains to be seen based off the results we see next week.
Well, one of the things that we love about baseball is that you can have a stud pitcher, and when you got a stud pitcher, a true ace, you're going to be in every baseball game, and we've seen that in baseball. Yeah. We've seen 14, 15, even 16 seeds upset the number one. So if you got an ace in baseball, obviously in softball it's going to be a little bit different because you can throw your ace throughout the playoffs. But, hey, in baseball it's anybody's game when you have a really good pitcher. So let's talk about who we think is going to be some of the top seeds, Gabe. So make a case for Clovis West being number one, because I think Liberty for the last 6 weeks at least has been the number one team on Max Preps, but there's some thought that Clovis West might jump up to the number one seed.
I believe so. And there's, there's going to be that reaction when the brackets come out, because I really do think Clovis West is number one for a very simple fact. The CIF has told us what the tiebreakers are, and it's head-to-head, and if they didn't face head-to-head, then it's finish in the same league, and since Liberty and Clovis West aren't in the same league, you go to that third tiebreaker of record versus common opponents. And the common opponents are Buchanan, Central, Centennial, Clovis East, and Frontier. Liberty lost twice to those teams, and only twice, right? They only lost to Clovis East and Frontier. Now, Clovis West lost once to Central at the very beginning of track play. They swept Buchanan. They swept Clovis East. They beat Centennial. They beat Frontier in the Easter Classic. So with common opponents, Clovis West has a tiebreaker, and I think Clovis West is going to be seeded ahead of Liberty. I think Clovis West is going to be ahead of Clovis. Clovis West is going to be ahead of Bullard because West beat Clovis, which beat Bullard twice. So there's no way I think that Clovis West can't be number one if the CIF follows the guidelines they told us about.
Well, if you look at Max Preps and the standings, and I hit refresh this morning, so Liberty is 24-4, Bullard is 21-6, Clovis West is 22-6, and Clovis is 19-9. So they're 9 losses, but Clovis is crazy. They might be the 3 seed with those 9 losses. And then I'm borrowing from your tweet, Gabe, that you tweeted out 10 hours ago. So I'm giving you full credit on this. So then you got Frontier at 5, Redwood at 6. I thought they might be a 7 or 8 seed. Stockdale at 7. Again, this is just projections by Gabe. Buchanan at 8. Central, we'll be talking with the Grizzlies here in just a minute after the break. They are at 9, and Clovis North at 10, Centennial 11, Rigetti 12, Edison 13, Madera 14, Hanford 15, and Paso Robles, who beat Cabrillo yesterday. Cabrillo can only be in Division 2. They're based D3, but they're ranked number 2 on Max Preps. They're going to be falling there. But I think, Gabe, too, I know CIF doesn't like league matchups, especially in the first round of playoffs. So to avoid, like, you know, a Buchanan and Central playing against each other, they have the ability to move them up and down, right?
If you have 5 track teams in one bracket, can you really avoid that? I mean,
correct, yeah.
I think that's kind of splitting hairs. And I know they try to avoid league opponents in the first round, but they might have to have it happen at least one time. Or else, I mean that middle section right there, I think it's Buchanan, Central, Clovis North. That's purely because of league standings, right? North, unfortunately for them, they had a downslide on the second half of track play. A lot of that had to do with their star player, Wyatt Prieto, going down. So they lost games to Central. They lost games to Buchanan. They got swept by Buchanan. And that's why, because they're fourth place, they are fourth place in the track, they're going to be behind Buchanan and Central.
Yeah, Clovis North was looking really strong in this season, and the loss of Wyatt Prieto, especially on the mound, because he's really coming to his own pitching-wise. He's a huge loss for the Broncos. Centennial, the defending champs, they've had an up-and-down season, you know, the incredible run that they made last year. And then Madera could be sneaky good because they have an emerging pitcher as well. So, like I mentioned, if you got a really good pitcher, you're almost playing with house money if you're one of those lower seeds going on the road to one of the top seeds. Okay, so then the trickle-down effect can happen, Gabe, in Division 2. So San Joaquin Memorial and Mendez threw a perfect game against Madera for Memorial. They could be a dangerous team in Division 2. Bakersfield Christian, they'll be bumped up from Division 3. They're a base Division 3 team. They are the defending champs. And then I mentioned Cabrillo. We don't know much about them this year. But Division 2 could be very competitive as well. And
I think so. I mean, you got Kerman that's always solid year after year. A lot can be said about the coaching job that Coleman does out there. And this might be one of his better teams he's had out there. And I'm saying a lot because they went perfect in the regular season 2 years ago. St. Joseph is really a force to be reckoned with. They had a great win last playoff against Clovis East. Clovis East made the playoffs last night with a 10-inning thriller over Buchanan. So, I mean, East is going to be in Division 2. St. Joe's, Bakersfield Christian, the defending champs, are in there. And Cabrillo, the team that pushed them all the way to the 6th inning in the D2 final. You mentioned it yourself. They're number 2 in the entire section, and they'll be in D2. So a lot of people might say D2 could be more competitive than D1 just because there's a lot more contenders in D2. You could see a lot more teams win it all in D2 than in D1. Because when you look at D1, I mean, yeah, you got some really underseeded teams like Centennial. But the way Clovis West is playing, the way Bullard's playing, the way Clovis can pitch and hit, I really feel like those are your 3 title contenders. And then it's kind of like a gap between 3 and 4 when you look at the 4 being, I guess 1 through 4 could win it all. After 4 or 5, I mean, Stockdale, I feel like you could see there's a gap between Bullard and Stockdale.
Absolutely. And then in Division 3, the defending champs, Kingsburg, they're going to be a top seed in Division 3. So there's going to be a lot of games. Division 4, right, it's Liberty Madera. We've talked about them a lot this season, the great program that they have in Madera. So, yeah, lots of stuff with baseball. We can't wait. So Tuesday, Thursdays are going to be the baseball games, if I'm reading that correct, right?
I believe so. And, I mean, I mentioned who the favorites are in D1, but really it could be Stockdale. It could be a Redwood. It could be a team that maybe doesn't have the big name on the mound or the big name at the plate, but just is overall a solid team. I think it could be that kind of match. I mean, Centennial last year, they went from, the 9th seed, traveled to Madera, beat Madera, travel to Bolivia. It could be one of those teams. But I feel like this is the year for a track team to win it all, just based off of how the track performed this season. Clovis West went on an 11-game winning streak at the most important part of the year. Well, I guess you could say second most important part of the year, because now we're in the most important part of the year. But they had an 11-game winning streak in track play. They showed a lot of what can make them a champion contender. You got Buller, that's extraordinary at the plate. A lot of D1 commits at the plate with Zavoric and Gomez, and I can see them getting hot at the right time. And then Gomez can pitch too. That's one of those arms you should mention, right? A guy who can carry you in a quarterfinal or final. I really feel like this is the year where I see three or four contenders above the rest. I don't expect there to be a magical run, an 8 or 9 seed, make it to the D1 final this year. I really don't.
So we're really looking forward to baseball. We're going to be broadcasting a game on Thursday. Not sure what game. We're going to wait till the brackets come out. So Mike Brink and I will be broadcasting a Thursday game here on 1430 ESPN. Gabe, we got about another minute or so. I know you're anxious to watch some of these great swim competitors go. So give us a quick preview of some of the names that we should be looking for today at the swim and dive meet.
Well, as soon as I walk in right now, because I'm outside the gate, I'm going to go the medley relay. Clovis West is the fastest medley relay. In that medley relay, and again, that's the mixture of freestyle, backstroke, breaststroke, and I think the other one, Paul. Oh, butterfly. Yep. Butterfly. That's my favorite stroke. That is the medley relay. That is Hannah and Haley Marinovic that are key parts of that. Two sisters. And Hannah, I mean, she's also the favorite to win the breaststroke here at the state finals. Lucas Huckabee is one of the fastest swimmers in the pool for the men's 100-yard breaststroke. He is from Kingsburg. He's the name to know. Just a lot of exciting storylines here that I'm looking forward to capturing in the next couple hours.
All right. That's awesome. We'll look forward to
Lucas is walking by right now. As I'm saying, you say Lucas is walking in.
You're speaking him into existence. Here he comes right by you. All right. Good stuff, as always, Gabe.
I'm going too, Paul.
You got to go in. All right. Thanks, my friend. We'll look forward to watching you over the weekend on Fox 26. All right, that was Gabe Camarillo at Clovis West, checking some things out. He is everywhere now, so good job by him. Brackets are going to be coming out, like I said, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you don't really know. Be hitting the refresh button, and then we'll be posting those on the social media accounts. And like we've talked about with baseball, it's a different animal. If you got an ace on the mound and he's better than the other pitcher on that particular day, good chance you're going to come away with the win. So it's one of the great things we love about baseball. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got Central Baseball in the house. We're looking forward to talk to them. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN.
Back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports. All right, when you bring in a lot of dudes on the show, you got, what, 4 total headsets and microphones to make sure everything's working. It could get a little wonky, but we finally figured it out, I think, right? Welcome, guys. How you guys doing? We got Central Baseball in the house. How you guys all doing?
Doing good.
Good.
All right, go Coach Micah Harrington. We got Adon Flores. And Marcus Nolan, you guys are juniors, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, Adon, we got you hitting 340, 3 bombs on the season, according to Max Preps. And Marcus, 353, 4 bombs and 24 RBIs, right?
Yes.
Coach Max Preps is good, right?
Yeah. Our guy does a good job.
I do. I appreciate that greatly, man. That's one of the great things I love about Max Preps is when coaches or whoever stat guy is put in the stats, because we love to give shout-outs. So, Coach, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to talk about these guys for sure and get their opinions on things, but it's been a pretty good couple weeks for Central Baseball. Would you agree? You guys have won 4 of 6, so talk about the last couple weeks and how you guys have played.
We finally started putting it together, being really competitive, and I think it's just everyone was just on the same page. As to the first part of the season, we weren't. We were kind of discombobulated, still trying to find the identity, you know, taking over kind of early, just trying to get everything meshing in a short period of time. And once we started track, it kind of started clicking week by week, and we've gotten better each week, I feel like.
So you have some signature wins that I want to get to in a second, bringing up your schedule here on Max Prep. So four of your last six, you guys swept Clovis East. You beat them 7-6, 6-0, 17-11, and a pretty wild one. A lot of runs in that one, 28 total runs. Then you lost to Clovis 11-6 and then shut them out 4-0. And then yesterday you guys fell 10-3. So talk about that sweep against Clovis East, just what was clicking. Obviously that middle game I want to get to in a second, but I mean, it looks like you got some timing hits in that 17-6 win and then held them off for that 17-11 win.
Yeah, so in the 7-6, I believe we were down 4-0, or we were up 4-0, blew it. So it was kind of, here we go again kind of thing.
Yeah.
It happened a couple times. Marcus hit a timely home run to tie it in the 6th, I believe, and that kind of just rejuvenated everyone. And I think we ended up walking that one off, right?
Yes.
And then, yeah, 17-11, we were down 7-0 in that one.
Oh, gosh.
But like I said, everything was still clicking, and coming off the win on Wednesday, you didn't feel like we were down 7-0. Once that first two runs scored, we felt like it was a wrap.
And those wins you mentioned, the 7-6, 17-11, those games were at home. Let's talk about that Wednesday game at Clovis East, a 6-0 shutout. You got a special dude that we've put out on Twitter a couple times. So talk about this freshman that's pitching for you guys.
Yeah, so he just goes about his work. It's hard to explain how he is. You see him, they're laughing right here because he just
gets up on the mound and throws, or I mean,
that's 100% what he does. They call him an NPC, non-playable character, just because it's I'm at the field, I'm gonna do my work, I'm gonna do my job, and that's it. There's no emotion. You rarely see a smile out of him, but when it is, it's ear to ear. But yeah, he's just awesome. It's fun to watch.
So what is he throwing? Mid-80s? He's throwing a slider. He can throw any pitch in any situation. What's he look like on the mound?
Yeah, so being able to command 5 pitches, Adon.
Really?
Yeah. 5 pitches. He just commands it. He just goes out there. He doesn't even throw hard. It's 77 and 79. But I've talked to a couple of players just to see what they see when they face him, and they said it feels like it's 83, 84.
It's coming hard, yeah, right? Like he hides
it really well.
A heavy
yeah.
baseball. So I against Clovis, did you feel like Clovis was really, really frustrated, right? So sometimes, you know, as far as their at bats, like they're like, come on, we should be hitting this dude, and all of a sudden it's like the 4th inning and they're not hitting. So did you guys feel like that? Like Clovis was really frustrated?
Yeah, I think it was just like this. It's not overwhelming, but it is at the same time, and you can't like pinpoint it. So I feel like they were just trying to look for answers and piece something together. They had a couple innings where they got guys on. Just Marcelo was able to bite down and get out of it.
Well, we should mention his name, right? Marcelo Rodriguez is his name. So, yeah, and I think the Twitter account, whoever's running the central Twitter account, put Marcelo with a bunch of zeros indicating shutout. That was you. All right,
yeah.
Good job by you, Coach. All right, so let's talk about these dudes. To your right here, to my left. So let's talk about Adon first. What does he bring to the field every day? What are his strengths? What does he mean to the program?
Well, I mean, he's versatile. He catches, he can hit, and he can pitch. That's a big part. Central's been blessed with plenty of catchers throughout the years, and he's just continuing that line. He brings a certain leadership aspect. We lost our first game 3-0 to Edison, and the first thing he did after the game was come up to me and Dower and say that we're going to be good. Everything's going to be all right. He bought in right there, and that kind of like – for me and Dower to take over a week before that happened and then hear that after we lost 3-0, that kind of like got us in gear. He just brings that presence, goes about his work, keeps it loose. He doesn't – he tries to make people not be serious all the time. But, yeah.
You got to have one of those guys on your team for sure, a guy that keeps the team loose but yet can be focused when it's time to get down to business. All right, talk about Nolan Marcus here, the guy directly to my left. What does he bring to the ball club?
Oh, this is the Energizer Bunny right here. besides energy, he brings confidence. A lot of times he'll get out, whether it was, you know, he pieced one up and just hit it right at someone, or maybe he struck out and he's in the dugout. Oh, I'm going to get him next time. Like, don't worry about it. I'm going to get him next time. And it's that I think other guys hearing that, and it's coming from one of our best players, that gives them a sense of, of hope and confidence to go do it themselves. That one at bat, one mistake on the field doesn't dictate how your game's going to go.
I'm going to ask you, Nolan, first. What's been your favorite game this year? You guys, like I mentioned, have some big wins this year, but has there been one of your standout moments?
The game against Clovis High that we just played was one of my favorite. No one ever hits home runs out of Clovis High, but I hit one out of Clovis High in the first inning.
You got one?
Yeah.
To left field?
Yeah.
That's a legit homer.
Yeah.
That is legit. All right, so let's talk about that homer for a little bit. Well, fastball down the middle, nice and high where you like it?
It was a high and inside fastball.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You turned on it?
I did.
Did you know right away it was gone?
No, I did not, because the wind was kind of blowing pretty hard in. So I thought it was going to be like off the wall or something, and I got enough of it for it to go out.
So when did you realize it was out? Did you look at the umpire doing this, or did you see it go out when you were rounding?
I was rounding first, and I was looking, and I saw it go out, and I was like, okay, I really hit it out.
Give a little fist pump? What'd you do?
Did
you look
at
the dugout?
I did a little celly.
All right, a little celly, a little celebration. All right. So, Adon, what's been your favorite game so far this season for Central High?
I think I have two right now. I think the Oakmont game in the Easter Classic, mm-hmm. that's a great one. And definitely the Buchanan night game. I love that one.
Talk about that Buchanan game for a little bit. Why was that one of your favorites?
I was on the mound. I felt confident. I was locating the curveball, the fastball. And then I think it was the second inning. I hit a bomb center field. So, after that, kind of knew we had a 4-0 lead. I knew we were gonna take it to him.
Yeah, that confidence in that game. So, coach's era. I mean, obviously, you've coached a lot of games over the years, but is there one game that's kind of stuck out this year for you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's a hand. Oh gosh.
I mean, that 7-0 comeback, right, against Clovis East. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right. The shutout.
I think
against
definitely
Clovis.
The Clovis High one this past week. I think that was a very complete game. We played clean defense, mm-hmm. had a guy pitching, scored the runs. I think we scored one in each first two innings. And then seventh inning, they were kind of – you could see them slightly getting more confidence as we weren't scoring runs after the second. And they had been getting guys on. And then we scored – Marcel actually hit a ball up the middle. It was a tough play. They couldn't make it. And we ended up scoring two runs on that play.
Give it a little more breathing room.
And, yeah, that once that those two runs scored, it was we knew Marcel was going to shut the door.
I'm going to get into the beginning of the baseball season, how all that came about. But, obviously you hear a lot about Clovis coming into the season with their arms. We know Clovis West came in, with some good players as well, and they took the track this year. Buchanan with their comeback. Clovis North was looking really strong at the beginning of the year. Do you feel slighted a little bit in the track, thinking like, man, all this talk about the Clovis schools, but we got a pretty decent program. We can compete with these guys. Is that kind of motivation for you guys? Ever talk about that? You ever feel slighted in a way?
I don't think slighted is what we feel. It's just it's motivation. We historically haven't been a consistently good program. So, I can't really blame them for thinking that. But I definitely think that we're overlooked. Even if we have studs, unless they're throwing 90, no one really talks about them. And so I think that just motivates everyone. Like, if we can reach our potential, we're going to show them.
And you guys have. You got wins against all those teams that I mentioned this season. Adon, when you play a game in the league, it's going to be tough, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have extra motivation in baseball games like that? You're like, hey, sometimes these guys don't really respect us, but then you end up, winning a couple games here and there. How do you feel about that?
I feel like sometimes we're overlooked, and I don't really mind that because I feel like we can go out and we can beat anybody, really, if we play a good game.
How about you, Marcus?
Yeah, I feel like that just makes it even better, just to know that we're overlooked, and then to go in there and beat them, that just gives like the even extra motivation and extra energy to go into the next game and the next game following that.
What does that say about the team coach as a whole, right? When you come into games like that, what does it say about this year's team that you guys are competing in every game in the league?
It's a reward of their hard work, buying into what Coach Dower has really kind of set the tone for, that we don't have to settle for for fourth or fifth best in our conference or sixth best, that we can be the top if you guys put your minds to it. And they've been trying their best to get that done, and I think it's going to turn a page in our program.
I agree. And I had Coach Mully on the show a couple weeks ago, and you know, I've had great conversation with him in the past. Mm-hmm. He's been a really, really cool guy to the show. So kind of walk us through that, Coach Harrington, with Mitch Mulligan having to step down. He had a stroke, and this is all public. He posted it and talked about it a couple weeks ago. He had a stroke, found he had a hole in his heart, so they repaired that on a bunch of medications that's slowing him down. You know, it just eats him up alive, right? So just walk us through kind of when you found out about his current situation, and then walking, you know, through the program and you and Coach Dower taking over.
Yeah, so I believe it was September he had it. He kind of kept it under wraps. I don't think he told me in Dower until maybe 2 weeks later. But it all seemed like it was going to be okay. He kind of seemed like he avoided the worst of it. And then slowly, as the winter came along and season got closer, it kind of, there's more question marks than answers. And then a week before, he said, "I can't do it. I'm not cleared. I'm not in any shape to do it. I can't do it to the boys." So yeah, it was literally a week to the day before our first game. He told us that we're taking over.
I think that was February 14th when he posted it. At least I looked at that. So
yeah,
maybe a week later was the first game. So yeah, so you and Dower got to sit together and kind of map things out. So how have you guys delegated that, and how have you guys worked together to have these guys, you know, have a successful season?
Yeah, so, I mean, it helps. We've coached with each other for, I believe, 8 years now. So we're yin and yang. We know, we kind of finish each other's sentences, really, kind of thing. But knowing what we already had an idea of kind of prepping for it, but it's not real until it's real. But he grabbed the bull by the horns. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew how good we could be. And everyone, even coaches, even the JV guys, they all bought in. And we make a plan every week and try our best to accomplish that plan.
So, boys, I want to ask you, so how many years on varsity for you? Is this your second year on varsity?
Yes.
Second year? Or you
third.
Third year, so yes. You started as a freshman.
Yeah.
How have you guys, start with you, Marcus, when you first got the news, like everything I hear about Coach Mully, everybody loves Coach Mully,
yeah,
right? I mean, you run
guy.
Through a wall for that guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
So when you first heard the news, you're like, oh, man. Like,
yeah.
What was going through your mind?
We were – like, the first impression we got is, like, he had a shock, and we thought, like, eventually he would come back, and, like, later we come to find out that he wouldn't be coming back. Like, everyone was kind of shocked and confused on how, like, the season would go. But then we got into the season, and it felt like we kind of picked up where we left off, and, like, there was still, like, hope, and we were still good to go.
Awesome. Don, like, how have you been able to navigate through this season? Are you guys playing a little bit extra for Coach Mulligan? What does that look like?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we all love Coach Mully. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. I mean, everyone still talks to him every day, and we definitely want to do this for Mully.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a coach that is going through a difficult time and he has to step away, suddenly that could throw a wrench, but it looks like you guys have, right, weathered the storm so far. Coach, I want to ask you just more about, like, game day preparations. How are you and Coach Dower and your coaching staff? Like, are you working with pitchers? Are you filling out the lineup? Is Dower filling out the lineup? Are you guys talking about beforehand? What's that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so good thing that Dower does, he delegates. He wants to know other coaches' opinions. So we have a group message to all his coaches. He throws out his initial, hey, here's what I'm thinking. What do you guys think based off this? And we kind of just have a little small talk about it. Most of the time, we don't even know the lineup until maybe 20 minutes before BP. But that's the kind of preparation he does. He wants to make sure he feels good and we all feel good about the best lineup we can possibly put these guys in the best situation to succeed. I work with outfielders specifically, and then I'm the third base coach, so I'm working with offense. And then Dower's the pitching guy.
Okay. You gotta wear that helmet at third base still? You gotta wear the helmet?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't fit me. Yeah, I got a big head.
I didn't say it. So yeah, you got the helmet that's sitting right there, and then you go take your position. I want to ask you boys just about how long you two have known each other, right? How long have you guys played with each other, played baseball, or when did you guys first meet?
I've known him for like 11 years, and we've been playing baseball for around like 9, 10 years. So we've been together for a long time. So he's been my throwing partner. We play catch with him every day. Like, just been, I've known him, all his baseball skills. We've been just grew up together playing baseball.
Do you know this guy for a while then, Adon?
Yeah.
What was your first memory of playing ball with him? You got a first memory?
It was definitely just me catching him pitching. He throws pretty hard. So.
You guys have a special, I don't know, handshake or special little thing that you guys do? Or
I mean, we used to, but then we kind of grew out of it, and we haven't really done much since.
All right.
We have a home run celebration, just yeah. me and him. But
yeah, let's talk about that. All right, so what is the home run celebration?
It's the Dodgers where Cody Bellinger hit the home run, and we hit our elbows together.
All right, just want to do one of these?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're old enough, that's like the Bash Brothers, right? The Oakland A's, the McGuire and Canseco. Do these guys know who the Bash Brothers are?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. So, all right, so go back. That's one of your homework projects this weekend. Go to YouTube. Look at Bash Brothers, McGuire, Canseco. Big old hulking dudes. May not done steroids, but they probably did. But boom, bashing each other after they hit home runs. All right, so that's what I got in my mind. All right, so, Don, you got 3 bombs, and Marcus, you got 4.
Yes.
Right? And we talked about the one you hit at Clovis. And then, Adon, what was your favorite one again?
My favorite one is at Central because I love hitting bombs, like, at Central. It was against East in the 17-11 win.
Tell them where it landed, Adon.
It went in the pool.
Went in the pool?
Yeah.
All right. And BP, how many guys can hit it in the pool in BP? Is that something you guys try to do all day?
It's just me and him. We hit
it. Just you two?
Yeah.
You two. Is that park play pretty big? Is Central play big? Or what?
It seems
what can
big.
Right field does.
Yeah, no, right field seems huge. Like, when I'm in center, like, I feel like there's not a ball to go out. Like, it seems big, but when you start running, like, field just shrinks on you real quick. Especially the ball flies there. There's always wind, and the ball gets on you quick. I'm not going to lie.
It does. It does. All right. Who's faster between the two of you?
Me, definitely.
All right. Yeah, that was close. Easy. That was easy. Paint to right. So that's Marcus. All right.
Yes.
You got a loss. I didn't check your stolen base stats.
I think I have 6.
6?
Yeah.
All right. Have you been caught, though?
No, I have not.
Good. All right. Perfect. All right. Perfect. And have you been given the steal sign?
Hit and run.
No.
Eric is like, no.
Have not.
Hey, I have 2, though.
But you got 2?
He does have 2.
Were they on the backside of a double steal?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. All right. Good answer. Or maybe first and third. We only got a couple minutes. This is flying by, guys. Adon, who are your favorite baseball players? Like, you got a favorite Major League Baseball team or a favorite dude?
I like the Giants. And my favorite player is Buster Posey because, you know, he's a catcher. I'm a catcher. And I try to play like him.
Buster's, he's a good player. He's amazing. He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, I mean, yeah. What, Rookie of the Year, MVP, World Series, right? Mm-hmm. He's got the trifecta right there. All right, Marcus, you got a dude?
I'm a fan of the Dodgers. My family grew up in L.A.
I'll give you that.
One of my favorite players is Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts. Unfortunately, he's gone, but another player to look up to is Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. Yeah, Mike Piazza and Mike Trout are my – 2 favorite baseball players of all time. Those are dudes. But gosh dang it, Mike Trout, stay off the IL.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Stay off the IL. Yeah, I mean, he's still a Hall of Famer in my opinion.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, the numbers, he's like Mickey Mantle, man. He could have put up those types of numbers as Mickey. So good call there. Is it hard seeing Cody Bellinger in a Cubs uniform?
Yeah, it is. Especially come back one of the first games we play him, he robs a home run. And then we just start booing him. Just knowing we wanted him back with us, but it's okay.
It's all right. Well, we got Mookie Betts.
Yes.
And we got Freeman Tani. We can't complain at all. Coach Arrington, you got who are your favorite players growing up?
I'm a Cardinals fan. And then my favorite player is Albert Pujols. He's retired now, so the two guys I like watching are Yordan and Soto.
All right. Juan Soto?
Him, yeah.
Yeah, he's having an MVP-type season already as well. Let's end with this. How about playoff seedings? Do you guys care where you're seated? You're like, man, we're just gonna go out and play baseball. Do you guys care where you're seated? Where you play home game, away game? You don't care, right?
I mean, honestly, we play better away, but after our last few home games, I feel like we feel pretty confident at home. But we've always done a little better away, so it doesn't. And the seedings right now looks like we're scheduled to play an away game, which we're completely fine with that. We don't really care who we play. We're gonna go out there and give it our all.
Don, do you agree? Like, you don't care? Let's just play baseball.
I don't care. I feel like when we're hot, we're hot, and I think we're going to do good.
Awesome. And Coach Arrington, obviously, I'm not going to ask you to tip your hat who you're going to pitch because but that's kind of the mentality of this ball club. It's like, all right, we just want to play baseball, and we're going to go out there and give it the best we can, right?
Anytime, any place, baby.
I love it. All right. So thank you guys for coming, Coach Arrington, Don, and Marcus. Thanks for coming on. This wasn't too hard, right? It was pretty easy. We're just having a chat, chatting about baseball. Good stuff. Thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Alan Sandoval, the head coach of Madera South, is coming up next live here at First String Sports. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
Don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. Edison, Hoover, Bullard, Kerman just had Central Baseball in the house. They did a really good job, by the way. You guys know Central, Kalinga, Selma, and Woodlake all share the same style of Letterman's jackets. To my left, got Clovis West, Madera. Behind me, Clovis North, Parlier, Clovis High, Kingsburg. So no other place I'd rather do my show than here. The ambiance is great. Right now they have a 28% off baseball stuff sale going on. And the reason why it's 28% is because it's their 28th year in business. So that makes sense, right? So last year they probably had a 27% sale. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Gloves, bats, helmets, bags, catcher's gear, everything you need here at First String Sports. I want to mention, too, if you miss any part of the interviews or any part of the show that you want to go back and listen to, you can do that super easy. Go to 1430ESPN.com under podcasts, under my show, Central Valley Sports Report, and you can listen to any of the shows actually I've had all year. I think last year's might be archived as well, and the year before, but commercial free. You guys check that out. We had that great conversation with the Central boys. That was really good. And when you got an ace, you can go a long way in the playoffs. To talk about that freshman pitcher. So, of course, coach isn't going to tell me who he's going to throw on Tuesday when they play in the playoffs. But, hey, when you got a really good pitcher and you're going on the road, which most likely Central is, you can win a game like that and upset one of the big teams. So, yeah, good job by everybody this season in the Central section. Want to bring in now Alan Sandoval. He's a friend of the show. Madera South baseball coach. Has that 2022 Central Section championship? I think I saw that up there. You guys have it there on the fence. You have your is it? It's not a banner, right?
No, it's a frame.
It's a frame.
A baseball frame that we have next to our NYL championship that we won in 2011.
All right, awesome. All right, so Alan, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Not much. Just working, teaching out in Madera, and finishing up coaching and doing all that. All that good stuff that comes along with, with being a coach and an educator, and just kind of looking forward to some time off.
And, time off. And we're going to be talking about in just a second. But, I like to chop it up about different things. You follow the NBA playoffs at all?
I think
playoffs are great, right? Regular season, whatever. Guys are doing load management. And, right, sometimes you feel like those games don't matter. But when it's playoff time, especially watching on TNT, right, that's a lot of fun with Shaq and Kenny and Charles and Ernie. But you follow the NBA playoffs a little bit?
I do. And, I mean, not as much as I wanted to because of baseball. But it's going to be some free time coming up. And, I've been watching a little bit. I thought, kind of shared it with you, Minnesota. I thought Timberwolves were going to sweep the series with the Nuggets. Came out yesterday and kind of put it on them. So that's a good one that I'm excited to follow and watch.
Well, yeah, especially if they win game two on the road. So never underestimate the heart of it. I mean, the Nuggets know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the T-Wolves came out with that great defensive game plan the first couple games. But, teams seem to adjust, especially when you're champ. All right, so this is going to test the age gap here. I want to ask you this, Alan. LeBron or Jordan, who do you got?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. Man, I know I'm A lot of people aren't going to like this response, but I got to go with LeBron.
I think you're showing your age. You're showing you're part of that generation that grew up like you grew up with LeBron, right? You probably remember that game that was telecasted live on ESPN, first high school game ever, and then following his career. All right, so you're a LeBron guy.
Yeah, I like LeBron. He's an all-time scoring leader. He's I think if you put him again, it's going to ruffle some feathers, but if you put him in the 90s, he's dominating even more. Just a freak of nature, just a great basketball player, high IQ, just like Jordan. But in a, I would say LeBron has a slight edge.
All right, so how would LeBron do against those Piston teams when they had the no layup rule, huh? I mean, LeBron's flopping a lot now these days. How would LeBron react to getting knocked on his you-know-what every time he tried to get to the – he's a big boy, though.
He is.
He is a big boy.
And I like to think he'd probably be a little bit tougher if he grew up in the 90s and yeah. We're in different times now.
So we are in different times.
I would definitely like to say. But you could say the same about Jordan. I mean, you put him, in this era with some, he'd probably get to the foul line a lot more than he did. And, he'd have a lot more points, too.
And he might take a few more threes as well. He's not known as a three-point shooter. All right, let's talk a little bit baseball here, Alan. All right, so how do you frame this season, right? Obviously we're friends, and I would check your score. Everyone's like, oh no, they dropped another one, right? They're not having the season that probably you expected, but what's the best way to frame this year, and how do you do it as a coach?
Yeah, so this year was tough. I mean, we started three guys who great ball players, they've developed, but they started playing when they were freshmen, so that was their first year of ever playing high school baseball, playing baseball period. So it was tough from a talent perspective, but I've said this to a lot of people. This was one of my favorite groups to coach. Just great kids, great human beings. They're gonna go out and do amazing stuff, and once they're done with baseball. And it was rough at times, and it was the hardest that I've ever worked. I had to put in the most time, and just to kind of get to those 8 wins, but it was tough. But I mean, this was a great group of kids, and I really enjoyed this season. I told my athletic director, we're struggling, kind of midway through the year, we're struggling, but man, I just cannot wait to get to the baseball field at after school and get started and work with these kids and joke around with these kids. And the van rides were a lot of my players mentioned, the van rides were the highlight of the season.
Well, and I think that's the case with a lot of teams, right? And you talk to players that miss high school sports, and they say, man, I miss the locker room, I miss the van rides, I miss all that stuff. So when you can enjoy those, when you have those things that you look back on, you're like, man, that was an enjoyable group. That's a good year.
Yes. Yeah, we were 8-19, but I guarantee you these guys are not gonna care about the record, a year from now, 2 years from now. They're gonna remember, stopping at Angry Chicks, stopping begging me to get food, after a game. And I wouldn't trade those memories for the world.
That's awesome. So who are some dudes you want to give a shout out to? You mentioned what you had three seniors this year?
Yes, we had three seniors. So two of them were on the Valley Championship team in 22. So Gilbert Moisa is our starting shortstop for the past 4 years. All-time hit leader in school history. We've had some really, really good players come through our program. And I think he ended up with 130-something hits.
Wow.
So over his 4 years, played a solid shortstop. He was actually the guy that when he came into our program, we were able to move Murph to third base, which just made our defense a whole lot better because Murph had been our shortstop. His first couple of years in our program. But just a great kid, getting a lot of attention from, some junior colleges, and wherever he decides to go, they're getting a good one. And then the other senior, Eric Gallegos, who he's a left-handed first baseman. But again, our talent was way down this year, so he actually had to step in, and he was our catcher. So we had a left-handed catcher this year, and he just toughest kid I've ever coached. He kind of yesterday after the game told me, Coach, I don't know if I want to be done. So I said, well, let's make some phone calls. Let's send some emails, and we'll find you a place to play. So looks like we might have two guys moving on to play college baseball next year.
That's awesome. That's great. So you made an announcement.
Yes.
And I heard about it on social media when I saw it. I was like, oh, man, shoot. Okay, so you made an announcement. This is your last year. You're stepping away from being the head coach. What are your plans? What went into that decision? How difficult was that for you?
It was extremely difficult. So yes, I've decided to step down. Yesterday was my last game. We're not going to playoffs. So it was, you know, it's just something that I had not thought of much. I thought I was going to be around for a long, long time. And then just with kind of, I mean, we're at three high schools in Madeira now. And so it's going to take a lot more work than I know I've ever had to do. And with a, you know, with a 4-year-old at home and we want to grow our family, I just don't know if I can commit to putting in as much work as I know that is needed. And if I don't, if I can't give my 100%, I don't want it. You know, it's not fair to, it's fair to the kids. But just thinking like the summer, we had a summer game at Washington Union. It was like a 5 o'clock start. So we went, I live by Sanger. So I was driving from Sanger. I had to drive to Madeira to pick up some kids, come back to like Washington Union, drive back to Madeira, and then get home. And I was getting home, you know, 9, 10, and just being away from my daughter. And it was just, I came to the realization that I think it's time to just kind of be dad and just kind of step away for a little bit. And you know, she's going to be starting school in August, and I just want to be home. I want to coach her. I want to, you know, grow my family. It's, my wife's been awesome. So Andrea, my wife, she's been a trooper. Like, she's allowed me to not complain once. She's allowed me to put in my time because, I mean, we were nonstop in the summer, nonstop in the fall. We took, you know, December off, but then back to work in January. So it was 11 months nonstop of just baseball, which was needed to develop our program. And but it's going to take even more now. And, you know, the kids deserve somebody who can give that 100%. And, you know, so it was, I just felt like it just wasn't something that I wanted to do anymore because of the time factor.
So did you talk with your wife probably first, and then athletic director you went and said, I think this is probably it. Let's have a game plan for mm-hmm. somebody else to step in. What was that process
yeah.
like?
So I talked to my wife first. Then also talked to my dad, who's a mentor of mine. And, you know, we just kind of came to a consensus that it's, you know, it's going to take a lot more to get back to where we want to be as a program. And it's just, I'm not willing to sacrifice family time for to do that. I mean, love Madeira South, loved coaching there, loved working there, loved everything about it. But, you know, didn't want to look back 10 years from now and, you know, my daughter's graduating high school 15 years from now and missed it all. I missed it all, yeah. And my athletic director, Andrea Devine, she's amazing. She completely understood. You know, she I walked into her office. I remember it's funny. I walked into her office, and I said, Andrea, I need to talk to you. And she said, oh,
oh
no.
She knew it.
She said, yeah. And then she's just tell me. And so I just kind of laid it out there, and she's super supportive and still is to this day. And she understood.
Well, I think that's – honestly, Alan, I think that's a testament to you, right? Like, it's going to be, you know, a difficult transition for a lot of people, but I think the respect factor is there. And, you know, burnout happens all over the place. And you're right. Like, I mean, you hear tons of stories about these college coaches that they're away from their family. They say, thank you to my wife for raising our kids, right? When you hear those things, you're like, oh, man, is it really that important, right? You only have this certain amount of time with your kids. You only have a certain age. So, yeah, good job by you to recognize that and feel it and get some good feedback, because it's a, you're right, you'll blink and it'll all be gone. So when you told your team, mm-hmm. right, what was that moment like?
It was emotional. It was tough. I have connections with all of my players, strong connections, and I love this team. And, you know, we're returning – we're only losing three guys. We're returning most of our team next year. So they were definitely bummed. They were, it was, you know, still have guys like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? It was like, you know, but I told them, like, I'm still going to support you. I'll still, you know, try to make it out to some games. And you guys know, if you need anything.
Still got your number.
You have my number, and you let me know anything that you guys need. So it was tough. It was tough, but, you know, I think Andrea Devine will do a great job of finding somebody to come in and kind of continue to grow the program.
And your role has changed educational wise as well, so you probably want to devote more time to your educational.
Yeah, so I'm at the district office now. So I'm a district math coach for elementary teachers. So I go around and help teachers with math lessons and math content. And so again, kind of going in a different route in my my career as well. Eventually, you know, eventually I think admin's in the picture. I'm getting my administrative credential right now. But that's still a couple years away.
Yeah.
Because, again, I just got my freedom back. So I do not want to go and step into an admin job right away and, you know, wanna, again, spend some time with my daughter and get to enjoy her.
Absolutely, 100%. So what are some of your greatest memories? Obviously, that 2022 season was a magical season, but what are some of the memories that you're going to take with you?
Yeah, definitely the 2022 Valley Championship team. My good buddy, Matt Fox, head coach at Washington Union, actually texted me last night and, you know, just kind of congratulated me on a great career and said, you know, I know this is a tough season, but, you know, I hope the great memories stand out more than the tough ones. So definitely just, you know, having guys like Murph, having guys like Xavier Cantu just come to the program and Gilbert Moisa and just spending time with those guys. And I mean, we had some great memories. We won 10 in 2021. We won 10 games in a row to start our season. You know, Max Preps had us ranked in the top 20 in the state. We had defeated Division I Clovis High. We were a one seed in the playoffs for the first time in school history in 2021, the Valley Championship in 2022. You know, winning 18 games with last year's team that didn't include Murph, that many people thought, you know, like, this is that.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a huge drop off. Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. And we won more games than, you know, than that was my winningest season as a coach at Madera South. And so, just getting to enjoy the kids, my coaches and the school in general, those are great memories that I'll hold for a lifetime.
And the van rides, right?
Oh, the van rides. Yes, absolutely.
The van rides.
Absolutely.
Ride.
Trying to get guys to keep them to, you know, we got 40 minutes. Like, he'd be back in 40 minutes, yeah.
Looking at your clock, you're at 39:28. You better run. You better sprint.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Murph. Obviously, he was a high-profile player, doing great things at Fresno State. I mean, he looks like a baseball player. I mean, he looked like a baseball player when I watched him play for you, but he looks like a dude right now, physically especially. So what are some cool things about Murph that maybe people don't know, or some behind the scenes things that, you know, that people don't know about Murph?
Yeah, so Murph is probably the most humble guy that I've ever met or coached, period. I mean, he was at a Division IV school as one of the best, if not the best player in the Valley, and you would have never guessed it from talking to him.
Yeah.
Just a great kid overall, great parents, great family, was raised the right way. The way he comes off in interviews, the way he comes off, you know, the way he portrays himself, that's real. Like, that's how he really is. And he was willing to, you know, take the shirt off his back and give to anybody in our program, whether they were, you know, an incoming freshman who had never played baseball before, to, you know, anybody on our varsity team. So just a great kid, high academic kid, great morals, just a guy that you want to be around.
Well, yeah, what you said stands out to me. That, you know, an incoming freshman, like, he didn't cool guy him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't, like, big league him at that moment.
Nope.
So that speaks volumes as well. So, Alan, I heard we got a couple minutes here, mm-hmm. Coach Sandoval. Let's ask about Division IV,
sure.
Right? So, who looks strong? Obviously, Liberty Madera and what yeah. Coach Kuhn is doing yeah. there, right? They got some dudes. It'd be a big upset, I think, if they didn't make it to the Central Section Championship.
Right.
So, who are some of those Division IV schools, or maybe even some Division III schools, who you really like, who you think might make it?
Yeah, so definitely, I mean, Derek's a good buddy of mine. So, Liberty's definitely the favorite there. But, I mean, a couple teams in our league, Hoover, Coach Jones is doing a great job there. So they'll probably be, you know, I'm thinking anywhere from a 7, 8, 9 seed. Sanger West is an up-and-coming program. We, you know, we play both Hoover and Sanger West, and Sanger West is good. They are they're up-and-coming, and they're going to be a strong, strong team. I thought I saw them in Division 4. I think they're a base 3.
Yeah, they're base 3.
But I saw them in 4. I think McLean, they're not going to make the playoffs this year, but I do want to shout them out. Coach Garza is doing a great job there. And, you know, you're going to see a good turnaround there in even next year, in a couple of years. They're going to be pretty good. Definitely want to shout out Washington Union, man. Coach Fox has done a great job there. And he hasn't even had Trey Morris this year. So, you know, when he gets
on the mound,
when he gets Morris back on the mound, watch out for Washington Union, man. They're going to be really, really good. And I think they'll make some noise in the Division III playoffs this year as well.
Yeah, and that upper league, I guess you could say that way, with the Kingsbergs and the Kermans. I mean, that is a loaded league. But, you know, Washington Union is definitely battle-tested. Yes. I know Emmanuel Steve Ramirez is going to come on after you. Yeah. So looking forward to talk to Coach Ramirez about his Emmanuel team. And I know you got a good relationship with him as well. Got another couple minutes here. Talk about the community of coaches. You mentioned Coach Fox at Washington Union. I've heard a few stories about how encouraging he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll send you texts after a game like, hey, good job. Like, I mean, that's pretty rare. So talk about the coaching fraternity, how cool all these guys are.
Yeah, Coach Fox was my college teammate at FPU. So we both were second basemen there together at the time. So we were competing back and forth. Just a great guy. Coach Coleman at Kerman. It's one of my good buddies. We didn't get to play together in high school, but you know, another great guy that will shoot me text message every now and then. And you know, he sent me a Facebook message, you know, just kind of congratulating me and telling me, you know, great career. We have Coach Rubicalo at Torres, who's a good buddy of mine. Coach Underwood, I can't say enough about that Madera community, that Madera Unified School District, and the coaches that we have there. And again, great people who you know, if whenever I have a question, I can lean on them. And the baseball community, it's important. For new coaches, I would highly suggest, you know, you find some coaches who have been there, and you just soak up any advice that they have. And, you know, that's what I did. I still, to this day, the guy that I text and go back to the most is Coach Bruce. Coach Bruce was with, I mean, a lot of what I've done at Madera South was because of Coach Bruce, and just kind of what I learned from him, and just advice that he's given me throughout the years.
You play for Coach Bruce at Kerman. We didn't talk about your Kerman days, but I do want to ask you this before you leave. I think you know where I'm going with this. So, we share a connection here. Found out a while ago you had a pretty cool fourth grade teacher,
was,
I think. Was it fifth?
Fifth. It was fifth.
Grade teacher. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So who's your teacher in fifth grade?
Yeah. So my fifth grade teacher was Miss Metters, Miss Laura Metters. And that was actually the first year where her last name was Metters. It was
Myers.
Myers. Yes. Myers before. Great teacher. A lot of good memories from fifth grade. And, you know, she was there in fifth, and then I think she moved on to Fresno Unified after that or somewhere.
She got married to some guy, right? Some guy.
But she was a great teacher. And, you know, she's one of those teachers that you don't forget. And they kind of push you to be in that educational field, you know, a mentor, somebody that, you know, this is the right way to do it. This is why, you know, you get an education. And she was awesome.
That's good stuff. And I got to mention, too, Alan, that we did a big kind of cleaning about 2 months ago, and so we found an old batch of pictures, and there's a little fifth grade Alan Sandoval just standing there in the playground, like a portrait. So
awesome.
We got that picture of you. So awesome connection. But Alan, what a great career! 8 years at Madera South and that championship. But most important, you coached young men, and you did it the right way, and people see that and people respect that. So hats off to you, and good job by recognizing, you know, when your body is telling you you need to step away and family. So congrats to you on all your success and all the kids that you've impacted, and you're going to continue to impact kids moving forward as you move along in your educational career. So Alan, thanks for being such a good guy, and congratulations on everything you've accomplished.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You bet. All right, it's Coach Alan Sandoval at Madera South. Coming up next, we're going to be talking more baseball. Emmanuel Coach Steve Ramirez is going to be on the line. His team just won their league by defeating Reedley on Thursday. We'll see where they land in the playoffs. Are they going to be Division IV? Are they going to be Division III? They're one of those teams that's on the bubble. So coming up next, we'll talk with Coach Ramirez on 1430 ESPN.
Dogs.
Tears for Fears, bringing us in. We got Steve Ramirez on the line right now, the head baseball coach at Emmanuel High School. They were finalists in D4 last year. Last Thursday, they clinched an outright league title with a 7-2 win over Reedley. Also coached the girls' soccer team at Emmanuel. Had to step away this year, but they improved dramatically over his years coaching girls' soccer at Emmanuel. But done a fantastic job coaching baseball at Emmanuel. So, Coach Ramirez, usually Saturdays are a kickback day. Sometimes they're a yard work day as well for you. You've said that yard work is your therapy. You got any yard work done so far today?
Yeah, I did my backyard. I mowed it. I did some trimming of trees. So I made sure I showered before I spoke with you. I don't know why I did that, but I did because I was pretty dirty. But hey, my backyard looks pretty good. That's funny. You know me well, Paul. You know me very well.
I know you very well. And for people out there that don't know, Steve and I have been working together. This is what, year 26? Steve is now superintendent principal where I teach. So we've worked together a long time. We definitely know each other very well. So, the weekend is always much better when you come away with a win, and that 7-2 win over Reedley clinched yourself a league title. But I want to ask you about the crazy scenario of the league going into that final Thursday. Four teams were in contention to win league, weren't they?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So on Tuesday, so we're playing Reedley, who's a couple games behind us, and then Selma's playing Exeter. So with Reedley beating us on Tuesday, kind of set up a weird scenario setting up for the final league game on Thursday. So if Reedley would have beat us again and if Selma would have beat Exeter, then that would have created a four-way tie for the league championship. So we knew going into that game on Thursday we had to take care of business. We knew possibility if we won, it could be a co-league championship, or if Selma beat Exeter, we could win it outright. So we went into there. We're going into Reedley, obviously a crosstown rival. It was senior night. They have nine seniors they were honoring. Reedley always plays us extremely well. So we kind of knew it was a hostile, and we were in hostile territory because that place was packed, not only with Reedley fans, but our fans as well. So it was a great scenario. And luckily, we played well, and it went our way. So, and then also on top of that, Selma did us a big favor. They beat Exeter. So then we were able to win league outright.
It's pretty wild. Out of the five schools, there was a scenario where the league champions could have been 7-5, a four-way tie for first with five teams. That would have been pretty wild. You guys could have taken care of business on Tuesday. Reedley beat you on Tuesday, but you guys went ahead and won it on Thursday. And like you said, you got a little bit of help, but you're the outright champion. So walk us through that game at Reedley. I think you guys scored early in that one and held on for that 7-2 win, but you got a really good pitching performances by one of your young kids.
Yeah, so going into that game, we knew we were going to see one of their seniors. His name is Brian Velasquez, a three-year starter out there for him, who's been kind of a nemesis to us for the last 3 years and a great pitcher. And I threw my ace on, I think, Nick Coleman on Tuesday, who's just been phenomenal for us. So I had to lean on a sophomore, and his name is Wally Pena. He actually was an early call-up. He started in JV. So to give a sophomore the ball with so much at stake, but we had faith. He's been hot as of late, and we had a game plan. And so in the second inning, we kind of struck. We got a couple walks, and then there was kind of a fielder's choice that went our way. So we were able to score two, but just like a good old boxing match, really countered with two that bottom of the second. So then after that, both pitchers kind of settled in this third inning, fourth inning, and fifth inning. It was just zeros all the way across. And then in that sixth inning, we got some key hits. We got a couple key hits from some of our players. They got on base, and then we had a bunt. We called a bunt with a guy at first and second, and he caught it. It was a phenomenal bunt by Lucas Pettit. And then as they tried to field the ball, they threw it into right field. And so two runs scored. And then we were able to push another run. So there was three in the sixth. And then we were able to hold them in the bottom of the sixth. And then we scored two more for insurance in the seventh. So I'm just very excited. And my sophomore, he went six innings strong, only gave up two. And then I brought another sophomore, who's Julian Ornelas, to close it out.
Awesome when you can rely on your young guys and they come through in clutch moments. That always strengthens a ball club. And last year you made it to the Central Section Championship game against Liberty Madera, a game that we called on 1430 ESPN. I know you lost some key players from last year. Your shortstop, he was pitcher of the year last year in league, Noah Santian, transferred to Clovis West. A little bit of a different makeup this year, but how does last year's run help you coming up in this year's coming playoffs?
You know, we've seen to turn it on when it comes to playoff time. 2 years ago, we made the D5 final. Last year, we made the D4 final. And, we lost, like you mentioned, we lost some key guys, seniors and also Nolan. But, I had one of my guys who was out, Nick Coleman, who's been a senior standout for us. He was injured all last year. So we were able to have him come back. And then I have a phenomenal catcher Eli Gray, who probably should be the league MVP this year because he's an absolute stud and behind the plate, an amazing hitter, great work ethic. I have an Aiden Vossler guy in center who's a senior. And then obviously I have my son and Zib Gonzalez, S.J. Ramirez, and then I have some key sophomores. So I knew I had the pieces. I knew we were kind of young. We're going to lean on some seniors, but you know, we're excited going into, you know, hopefully in a couple hours, this uncertainty will go away because I'm dying to know, are we going to be three, be four? So I guess time will tell.
And you mentioned you're coaching your son and then another one of your assistants, Brandon Pettit, his son Lucas is on the team. So how cool is that that you're able to coach your son? And I've talked to a lot of coaches over the years, and we're about to talk to one, Rich Lake, is able to coach his sons in volleyball. But how cool is it to be able to coach your son at this period of life?
You know, it's amazing. You mentioned soccer earlier, and I have three daughters, as you know, just like you. And that got me into girls soccer. And obviously, one of my sons, the fourth one, the baby of the group, when he came, I knew I would be able to coach something I absolutely love because, you know, I had a great career at Emmanuel as well when I was younger. And so it's great to coach him, to have your son out there. You know, sometimes, you know, being a coach's son is a hard place to be. But it's amazing, you know, and Brandon Pettit, as you know, he teaches with us, and he's an amazing guy. It's kind of been unique. I don't know how many coaches can say. You mentioned, you know, on the left side, these guys have been playing infield together. We've been doing it since T-ball. When they were 5 and 6, Brandon was my assistant, and then we kind of rolled into minors in Kingsburg, and then we rolled into majors, and then now we're in high school, still coaching together, and our son's comprised of third and left and shortstop. So I know our left side infield is in good hands with those two guys. And it's been an honor to coach those boys because they're great kids. And obviously Brandon's one of my best friends.
Yeah, I could attest to that for sure. We got another minute here, Coach Ramirez from Emmanuel. All right, so Max Preps rankings. We spent a lot of our lunch times talking about these rankings and where teams are going to land. And, all right, how tough is it, though, for you not knowing, man, am I going to be a high seed in D4 or a low seed in D3? Like, I mean, honestly, like, is it difficult? I mean, because it makes a huge difference.
It makes, yeah, you know, I'll go wherever they put us. You know, just 2 years ago, we're D5, and then last year we're D4. And, you know, it's looking, if you kind of, you know, you and I were talking with Brandon at lunch yesterday, and, you know, when you look at the numbers, it kind of says D3. Can we squeeze a high seed, a low seed, and a D4? I don't know. You know, I don't know. My hunch is we're probably going to land in D3. Wherever we go, we're going to just try to play our best baseball. We're going to be ready for them. As soon as I find out in mid-afternoon, I'll start doing some research, me and my coaches.
Yeah, we're going to find out in a couple hours here. All right, Steve, great to talk to you as always. It's been a fun ride for me these last couple of years talking baseball with you at lunchtime and throughout the day as well. So we'll find out in a couple hours, my friend, where we're going to land, and I'll talk to you soon. I'll probably text you when we find out, and I'll see you on Monday for sure.
Yeah, I look forward to our conversation on Monday at lunch.
All right, I can't wait. As head coach Steve Ramirez of Emmanuel High School, we have Rich Lake, the Clovis boys head coach. They won their Central Section title on Thursday. Can't wait to talk to him. Really good stuff. Rich Lake coming up next on 1430 ESPN. Segment here, 1430 ESPN, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, and yeah, I wanted to squeeze Steve Ramirez into the show, and I obviously waited to see if they were going to win on Thursday and defeated Reedley. So, yep, Steve's been a friend for a long time. I watched him win a Central Section Championship in baseball in 93 along with my brother. So, yeah, baseball is definitely in the air, and I want to give some love to volleyball. I wish I was able to go to Thursday's Division I Central Section title game, Clovis at Sanger. And when Stephen Hicks sent out that tweet and showed the incredible environment that was there at Sanger for that game, I'm like, God, I got to have Rich Lake after Clovis took it. So, Rich, man, I haven't seen you in a while. I don't think you haven't been on my show, have you? You probably
been a while. We haven't won since 2019, so.
Yeah, before I had the show, I guess. All right, so what's going on? What's going on this Saturday? You're still feeling pretty high from that win on Thursday, huh?
Oh, it's the last 48 hours have been great. I always tell everybody it's kind of fun to actually have a championship on a Thursday night. if you win, because the next day at school is really cool. If you win it on a Friday or Saturday, it's almost feel like on Monday.
A little anticlimactic. Yeah.
So it was a really cool day. And we actually had an assembly that day for our senior farewell assembly. So we got to bring the team up in front of the students, introduce them to the student section or to our students. And that was really cool for the guys. So no, it's been a great, great couple days here.
And thanks for the shirt. Right?
Hey.
I didn't even open it up. So it's that beautiful Clovis blue that I like. I like that Clovis blue. Cougar Country Volleyball. All right, cool. It's got the yellow gold on it as well.
We appreciate you getting volleyball on the air and supporting it a little bit.
I know. So a couple of years ago, Clovis West won, and I brought their coach and some of their players. Yeah, brought their coach on. So it's a lot. And I tell everybody that when talking about high-level volleyball, boys or girls, I don't care. If you haven't seen it, it's awesome, awesome to watch. I mean, the electricity, I can't go on enough. I wish I was there. I wasn't able to witness it myself. But let's set it up a little bit more, Rich, going into that game against Sanger. They were the one. They had the home. Right. They had the home court. You guys were the two. They were one of your four losses on the year. So kind of give some context leading up to that game. What was going through you guys' minds?
Yeah, well, for us, we knew going into seeding, we felt like we were probably going to end up with the two. We had an unfortunate loss last week of league. And so, you know, we had the early game with Sanger early in our season, had that loss. So I felt like that head-to-head would probably weigh a lot in their decision. And we were okay with it. We were comfortable with it. As a team this year, we've done a lot of winning on the road at home. So we're comfortable wherever that situation is going to be. And we knew for Sanger it'd be a tough road. They had to go through our league. And, you know, for us it was nice. We finally had a playoff where we didn't have to play a team from our league. We got to play Bullard, then St. Joseph's in the semis, and then Sanger in the finals. And it's hard enough going through the league twice, playing everybody twice, to have to play them a third time is not easy.
Get
at
sick
all.
Of them, right?
So we were okay with Sanger having to go through that gauntlet, and they had to play both North and Buchanan. But, you know, for us, it was, you know, you look for little things that maybe give yourself a little extra motivation. And that loss early in the season was that for us. Having a chance to redeem a loss is always an extra motivator. Early in the season, our best player, Justin Mua, he actually missed our first 15 matches. It was literally the practice before the Sanger tournament, which kicks off our season. The last play of practice, you know, hey, last play, we're done for the day. He comes down and rolls his ankle. So, you know, we missed him the first 15 matches. We actually won a tournament while he was out. We went 12-3. And so to us, it was kind of like, oh, without our best guy, we're still doing a lot of winning, and that's promising. And we had such a young group of guys. We only returned two starters this year, six guys on the roster that were on last year's roster. So for all those other guys, it gave them a lot of good experience that helped us create a little depth and to be able to get through those first 15 matches without Justin on the court and have that kind of record and playing like we were, it gave us a lot of confidence. And in fact, we only lost one match with Justin on the court this year, and that was that loss to West at the end of league season. So, you know, going to that game, you know, we had a very light practice the day before. We went in for an hour. We felt like at this time, mental health is probably where we want to focus on. And we just came in and did a little couple drills and got out of there. But more than anything, we just focused on where our mindset was and bringing up that loss and a chance to redeem it is always a great opportunity. And we want to be ready for that opportunity. And I'll tell you what, the guys came out and they put a show on.
I want to get to that final play, the championship point, in just a second. But what matchups did you like going against Sanger? What were your strengths and what were you trying to exploit for Sanger?
Well, I think for us, we're not the most intimidating physical team. When we walk into a gym, we were at a tournament up north, and at the time, I think we were ranked 24th in the country, and some players from another school asked, are you guys missing some guys? And we're like, no, this is our crew. And they're like, and you could hear them comment, this is the 24th ranked team in the country. We don't
intimidate. You don't pass anybody. The eyeball test, so to speak.
But our defense and our ball control and our serve game is our strength. I mean, we do have offense, don't get me wrong. But so we kind of like our matchup. St. Joe's was very similar offensively to what Sanger does, pretty outside heavy. They like to run the pipe ball as well out of the back row. So it gave us kind of a good practice going into that game, getting to face St. Joseph's. And so we just kind of talked about their tendencies a little bit. And I think we're hard to match up with because we just don't rely on one or two guys. It's an all team effort out there. And I think that's what got us through a lot of the year is we could have a guy have a little bit of an off night, but there's four or five other guys picking that up. And so, obviously we rely a lot on Justin. I mean, he had 29 kills that night out of 51 swings, hit 471, which is amazing, especially when you know that everybody knows you're getting the ball and you're still getting it done. But we just, it was a full effort out there. Juan Garcia, our one senior we play, had an amazing night. He's a 5'10 middle blocker playing against 6'5", 6'6 guys, and he plays like he's 6'8". And I was super excited for him to have that kind of night because on our team last year, he had some health issues that kept him off the team for about the first half of the year. He actually had some heart issues, which was a scary situation. But to come back this year and have the senior year he had, it was really exciting for him. But, we were very comfortable with our matchup. Like I said, I love our defense. Our guys do a really good job of in-game adjustments and figuring out tendencies, and we were all over it all night.
Talking with Rich Lake, the head boys volleyball coach at Clovis. So just for reference, you guys defeated Bullard 3-0 in the playoffs, and then that St. Joe's game that you talked about beat them 3-0. And then the Sanger match was 3-1. I believe you won the first, they won the second, and then you won 3-4.
Yes.
Final point, right? I mean, whoever shot that video, man, got into it. That was a great video that's out there on social media. Go ahead and find that, guys. It's just high leverage, man. It's just a good, good shot. So talk about that final point and that kill and how awesome that was.
Well, the setup for that is I actually called the timeout right before that play, and we were up 24-19 at the time. And we get him in the huddle, and I looked at Justin. I go, everybody in this gym knows you're getting this ball. Go win it for us. And Aiden Enser out there, our setter, sophomore setter, they're like, well, do you want to run? And I said, whatever you guys want. I got full faith in you. Whatever you want to get, whatever play you want to run, let's get it done. And if you didn't think he was getting the ball, then you weren't watching that match. But they set up the play. We kind of ran our middle. We'll run a three, and then we slide Justin in between the setter and the middle, inside two. They had a nice big double block up on it, and he read where they were at and turned it back to his left. And it was a great way to end it because it was a great swing. It wasn't like some serve into the net or some lucky kind of play. It was a great finish and well-deserved for the team and for Justin with the kind of night he had.
Yeah, that was electric. That's something that, go back and watch that. I encourage you guys all. All right, so that's championship number 6. For the boys.
Six for the boys.
And you got two for the girls.
Two for the girl side.
You got a regional championship as well. Right? I mean, it's tough. Like, it's like picking which is your favorite kid, right? But where does this one kind of rank in your career?
I get that asked all the time. Could this team beat other teams?
Yeah. And it's kind of fun talk.
Yeah, like
as a
earlier,
coach.
I heard you ask about LeBron and Jordan, which is hands down Jordan. But
yes, true.
It's hard to say because this group is very unique. They are different than a lot of the teams we've had in the past. Like I said, we're not physically imposing, but this group, they're very, very. They're kind of a nerdy athletic group in the sense of they just want to play all the time. I was telling somebody, we get done with a workout, we go into the gym, and we're waiting for something, and they grab a ball and they just start playing.
Yeah.
And they just love to play all the time. And made it kind of easy for me in the sense of I knew every day we were going to have a great practice. I never once went into a match nervous about, are we going to be ready to play tonight? These guys every day showed up to play and for each other. And it was all 14 guys. Sometimes you have your little pockets within the teams, but this group is really for each other. At lunchtime, they sit together. And that hurt, I think that hurt our crowd a little bit over the year. They don't have a lot of friends outside the volleyball team, so we might not attract all the other students to come to the games. But, it was definitely a unique group and that very special group in that way. Very great parent support. Some of the most unbelievable team dinners we've ever had. The parents really bring it in supporting these guys. And they were kind of our student section this year. The moms would dress up with tutus and blue wigs, and the dad showed up with blue mask, and so it's definitely a family atmosphere out there for us, and so they're super special. It's hard. I mean, they're obviously going to be up there as far as what they mean to me, but every team is, as far as how I coach, I'm always in and 100% in on that team. So right now, they're the best team I'm coaching. So
I love it. I love it. And your voice says it. You say, man, my voice is still recovering from that match on Thursday.
It was, you know, I never yell at my team during much of the season as far as having to get on them about things. But the energy of the game, you're probably a little bit more tense with the officials on that night just because everything means a little more. But, you know, and then the celebrating afterwards and everything. Yeah, your voice hurts a little bit for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, you definitely earned it. So, state playoffs. Seniors are going to come out when?
They come out tomorrow. There's still some section championships going on today.
Got it.
Especially in SoCal. So tomorrow, probably around 2, 3 o'clock, we should know what we're going to do.
Is it still for a central section? They could put you either SoCal, NorCal. Where do you – is that how it
yeah,
works? So?
Yes. In our area, immediate area here, we'll all be NorCal.
Okay.
But the St. Joe's and the teams on the coast will go to SoCal. So, yeah.
And so no state championships still. So just SoCal and NorCal regionals,
just
correct?
Regionals. Next year actually will be the first – true state championship.
They're doing it.
Next year
finally
is the first one, and which is great timing for us because we bring back 12 of these 14
oh,
guys
gosh.
On our team.
I didn't ask
so
you that. Okay.
One starter we're losing after this year, so not that it's a guarantee, but we like going into next year having that group coming back, and we got some really good young players coming up too through our junior high program and stuff like that. So
that's
we'll be,
awesome.
We'll be NorCal. Last year was great for our area. We were second in everything last year to Clovis East, but Clovis East won the Division One, and then Sanger won Division Two, and so you had three teams, you know, within a 5-mile radius winning regional championships. So great, great for our area.
That's amazing. Is there a difference? We've got about a couple minutes here. Is there a difference, Coach, between the volleyball that's played in SoCal compared to NorCal and even Central Section?
Yeah, I mean
the style. I mean, are the dudes bigger? Like you always think. SoCal, the guys are 6'8". They're going to Long Beach. They're Olympic type players. Is that the case?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
Okay, got it.
That,
yeah,
that's not a fairy tale. That's true. No, they're definitely you know you got some size. They just have a lot of opportunity down there growing up, whether it's on the beach or just volleyball is a big thing down there. And plus, just population wise, you got more to pick from. So, you know, we try to be as similar as possible. We got to play to our strengths. The one regional we won was a SoCal regional, and Buchanan's won a SoCal regional as well. Last year, Clovis East took down some of the big guys down there last year, so we can play with those guys. You know, NorCal, we tend to be a little bit more on the stronger side up here, but you got some great teams this year. Santa Cruz, Valley Christian out of San Jose is always strong. Archbishop Mitty is a good volleyball program as well, and you got Bishop O'Dowd. Jesuit's always pretty solid, so there is some really good volleyball up here in this area.
Got a question that I've been wanting to know for a while. So describe, like, the mentality of a high school volleyball player, right? Like, can they dunk a basketball? Are they a little quirky? You know, what's a personality of a high school volleyball player?
Well, you got to have a lot of confidence. I mean, it's one of those sports where the other team scores a lot on your mistakes. You know, they don't have to score a basket. I mean, they score on their own as well, but there's a lot of scoring. You miss a serve, you hit a ball in the net or get blocked. So you got to have the confidence to be able to go on to the next play and let that play behind you go. And so they got to have some confidence. They definitely have to have it helps to have some springs.
Yeah,
as far as guys who can dunk, last year Brendan O'Neill for us, he was about a 5'11 outside with a 42-inch plus vertical. He's got a lot of videos of him windmill dunking and 360 dunks. There's been some years when we've had some of our bigger teams. If you walked into the gym, you would have thought the basketball team was in there with our guys throwing down dunks and stuff like that before practice. So, you know, and at the higher levels, it's you know, you got six, you got to be 6'6 to 6'10 to play at the high levels, and those guys all have 36 yeah. plus vertical. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be a little confident for sure. You probably a little weird. I mean, it's a different sport, but I think the way we approach it in our program is we want to be the best athletes we can be and have that mentality of just always moving forward and being confident in what we do.
Well, you have certainly, and then you run great programs there at Clovis High. It's your sixth boys title. You got that regional, and you have two girls titles. Thanks, Rich, for coming in. Appreciate you, and congratulations on all your success. Good to see you.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet. All right. Thank you, guys. That's a big wrap. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Gabe Camarilla, Micah Harrington, Adon Flores, got that right, Marcus Nolan, Alan Sandoval, Steve Ramirez, and Rich Lake. A loaded show. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. We'll talk to you later. Have a great week.